Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Load Seaters for Thursday, February the 4th, 2021. Joined by Callum, and we're going to be talking about a lot of fun stuff. The first one being AOC doubling down on her lies. Then, of course, a bunch of refugees showing their gratitude towards Britain. And then Labour also showing their gratitude towards Britain. It's going to be good. Actually, before we start, I should have got this.
We have a secret cupboard.
Finally have a use for the cupboard behind us, because a chap called Johnny very kindly sent us this book. This book, if you can't see, obviously you probably can't, it's Locke's Essay Volume 2, and what it is an original copy of Locke's Essay Concerning Human Tolerance. If I can find the intro page, so you can see it. Essay Concerning Human Understanding. This book is from 1768. So it predates the United States of America, and don't worry about me handling it. It's actually okay to handle these things, because actually the oils in your hand protect the vellum, apparently, that it's printed on, but obviously keep it out of direct sunlight. I'm not going to actually read it manually, because I'm actually really aggressive with the books that have survived my mauling and made it onto the bookshelf. But I'd just like to thank Johnny. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. This is a genuine piece of history and something that is philosophically suited to what we do. So honestly, I'm thank you again. Thank you so much, man. But anyway, in the meantime, if you would like to support the channel and the website, you can go to loadseas.com, sign up and become a member. We've got loads of premium content, and we've got the Where Would Christopher Hitchens Fall in the Modern Culture Wars podcast that'll be going up, I think, on Saturday, Sunday, something like that. Really, really fun one to do. And I'm just saying that there's a good possibility that Sam Harris might have been wrong and that Christopher Hitchens may have had a MAGA hat. Just saying. Anyway, let's get on to AOC doubling down on her lies. This is my favorite thing in the world. Alexandria Ocasio-Smollett was trending on Twitter, and this is what she had said. So she had seen the fact that, much like our coverage yesterday, many, many people on the right were like, hang on a second, are you saying that you weren't in the building that was being attacked? And she essentially had to say, kind of, yeah. And after this large narrative and the hashtag Alexandria Ocasio-Smollett was trending, and it's still trending at the moment, so this is one of those things that she's not going to be able to get rid of very easily, she decided what she would do is tweet out her doubling down. She says, this is the latest manipulative take on the right. They are manipulating the fact. How can you manipulate a fact? What's that? That doesn't make any sense. But I love the way she's framing this in just, oh, the right are just evil. Look at them manipulate. Right? They're manipulating the fact that most people don't know the layout of the Capitol complex. No, that was what you were doing. That was what you did.
You said you were in the Capitol.
Yeah, exactly. And when people think the Capitol, they think the main building in the center, the main Capitol building.
That is the definition. If you go on Wikipedia, you will see that it is the main building only.
Now
as
what?
The Capitol.
But there is also an expanded definition of the word, which is the Capitol Hill Complex, which is a larger thing, which it does contain her offices.
But that's not the word she used.
No, that's not the word she used. And that's not what people were thinking of. And I think
this is a cope.
It's a cope. And it's her being manipulative. In the same way where she called detention centers concentration camps. She knows that, I mean, you know, okay, technically, yes, people are being concentrated into a particular camp, sure. But when people in the West say concentration camp, they
mean common usage is not that.
Death camp, yeah. And she knows that they mean death camp. She's doing this deliberately. But yeah, so she says, you know, we were all on the Capitol complex. The attack wasn't just on the dome. That's not true. The attack was just on the dome. And the bombs Trump supporters planted around our offices too. Okay. I guess she's referring to the pipe bombs that were found at the RNC and the DNC headquarters that were apparently planted the night before the riot. So it's like, right, okay, they're planted at both headquarters.
I'm not sure this is partisan.
Yeah, exactly. It's rather difficult to make this a partisan attack. Oh, the Trump supporters planted bombs. What, the RNC too? Why? You know, I could see why Antifa would plant bombs at the DNC and the RNC, just saying, but I don't know why the MAGA folk would do that. But yeah, I mean, it's not like the FBI don't have any further information on this. Two pipe bombs.
I'm joking.
Well, that's the thing. It screams false flag, actually. It does imply false flag.
I'm willing to believe it is probably a type who hates the government in general.
Yeah, it could be some rando, like, you know, anarchist who's just like, oh, we hate all government. Or it could be an Antifa member, because it's not like like they didn't also start attacking the DNC headquarters in Portland the day of Joe Biden's inauguration. So they obviously don't like the DNC, and we know that. But there's no real evidence the MAGA folks are going to go start trying to burn down the RNC. If anything, it looks like the MAGA folks are going to be like, right, we're going to oust the rhinos from the Republican Party. Yep. So I don't think the MAGA folks
actually... Either way, this is a complete distraction.
Oh, because totally.
She was alleging she was in her office, she had to hide in her bathroom in her office, and people were coming into her office. Where is she? Right, okay. Yeah. What's that got to do with bombs?
Well, hang on. It gets better, right? So the FBI doesn't actually have any information on these pipe bombs other than we found them, they didn't go off. And
we destroyed them.
We don't know who did it. An investigation is ongoing, according to an FBI insider who spoke on condition of anonymity. So it's like, okay, that's weird. You know, it's like, I'm not even going to put their names to it. But the funny thing about this is, okay, so someone put a bomb at the DNC headquarters. That's really scary. Let's have a look where the DNC headquarters are, shall we? Oh, it's even further away from her office than the Capitol Hill building is. So, right, okay. Oh, okay. Or sorry, it's about the same distance, really. But the point is, it's not hers. I mean, it's two blocks away.
It's also nowhere
away.
Near you. It's as close to you as the Capitol.
Yeah, it's two blocks away. This does not reinforce your story, right? But then she continues, saying people were trying to rush and infiltrate our office buildings. That's why we had to get evacuated in the first place. The attempts of attackers and publicly available communications showed how they tried to gain access and share information on finding members for physical harm. No, they didn't. As a South Carolina congresswoman whose office is two doors down from AOC's says, AOC made it clear that she didn't know who was at her door. Breathless attempts by the media made fanfictious news flames are dangerous. My office is two doors down. Insurrectionists never stormed our hallway. Egregious doesn't even begin to cover it. Is there nothing the MSM won't politicize?
Is that a Democrat or Republican?
That's a Republican. She's from South Carolina.
Okay. Then that obviously brings into, because again, I want to reinforce, she said she thought people were storming the building, she had to hide behind the door in her bathroom, and then heard people screaming, where is she? Where is she? But if the hallway was never stormed, they were nowhere near her building, like, okay, all of that stuff you said about hiding behind a door, either you're crazy, or you are just lying. And I'm willing to believe that she is just lying.
I believe that she's just lying as well. But she carries on. She's not going to stop. She says, it is also very damning and revealing that the GOP is digging both heels in a discrediting campaign. It's very revealing that the Republicans are concerned about the facts, and you are very annoyed at this discrediting campaign. So if we examine the facts, such as we don't believe that the two Nigerian men put a noose around your neck, it looks like you're a liar. And it is discrediting when everyone thinks that you're a liar. That's true. It's very discrediting. It's very damning to you. It's because they know they are implicated. They're implicated in telling the truth. Oh no! Hands up, IR Republicans. You've been implicated in telling the truth.
I love how pathetic the response is as well. Look at that, 59,000 likes. Yeah. Absolute brainlets.
Yeah.
Like if I don't know, Trump came out with something like this, you just call him a moron. You're just like, why are you making this up? This is just obviously stupid.
Yeah, I would be forced to sit here and go, well, I don't know why he's saying this, because you'd have to really extend the definitions of
hiding behind the door.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But anyway, she says it's because they know they're implicated, so they're pivoting to, again, the classic abuse playbook of it's not as bad as they say. Yes, it's abuse to point out that actually you weren't really abused.
No one was there.
You're a lunatic or you're a liar. Pick one. It was that bad. It's actually worse. Well, then it's not that bad, is it? If it's that bad, but it's actually worse, that's a contradictory statement. You're an idiot. You are actually the sort of occasional cortex that people accuse you of being. But the thing is, as if anyone would expect anything less from her personally, let alone the Democrats more broadly. On what do they give any ground to the Republicans? Like, the Democrats can't come out and go, okay, yeah, she's full of it. This was obviously the case. The facts are in from her own words, from the details of the people on the ground.
From every witness statement that can be found.
Yeah.
From every piece of video evidence that can be found.
From geography itself. she's not telling the truth.
Wasn't part of her response as well, like, oh, in response to Jack pointing out that your office is...
Well, hang on, we'll get to that. Right. And so Jack Posobiec tweeted, I think he's, what is it, One America News he works for? And he's a Catholic activist. He tweets out, Fact check. And if we can go to the next picture. So he points to the building in which her office is contained, the building in which Katie Porter's office is contained, and the location of the US Capitol where the mob was trying to storm in. And AOC responds to this, which is very interesting because there's a kind of discourse that happens that demonstrates power and a kind of discourse that demonstrates weakness. And the discourse that demonstrates power is the categoric assertive statement that you do not respond to. You allow other people to respond to this. You are laying down the law, and then that's how you consider it, and then you build on that. But the fact that Jack Posobiec, I mean, he didn't even actually at her, I think.
It was just a very popular retweet.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that she saw this going around and was like, oh, I have to see this, I have to respond to this, shows that even gods can bleed, right? She says, this isn't a fact check at all. Your arrows aren't accurate. Yes, they were. They lie about where the mob stormed and place them further away than where it was. That's not true.
That's the Capitol building.
Yeah.
Video evidence shows.
Yeah, that's not true. We've got all the video. We've seen where the people entered in. I mean, it seems that Jack actually did accurately portray it. We covered this yesterday. You also failed to convey the multiple areas around people trying to storm. That's true. There were also people at the back of the building, but that's not really relevant because that's further away from you.
That's still a different building.
But it's the same building, but it's also further away.
It's not the building her office.
Yeah, exactly. It's worse for your argument. You also failed to show tunnels. Poor job all around. Well, hang on a second. You didn't mention the tunnels yourself. You didn't use any of the tunnels.
No
one's alleging that the MAGA protesters stormed the tunnels.
There's no footage of them using the tunnels.
So why bring it up?
It's just because it's like, well, my office is technically connected to the Capitol via these tunnels.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, but even so, that doesn't prove you right, because you were claiming that they were at your building. So you're saying now that they did storm the Capitol, but then they used the tunnels to come all the way to your building and then stormed into your office?
And that argument is against the other argument from the South Carolina congresswoman who says, this did not happen.
Yeah.
I was literally two doors down. This did not happen. So, you know, but what I find funny about this is that this tweet is essentially an admission that Jack Posobiec is correct, because what she's done is try to, you know, correct minor errors as if this is a debunk.
Your map doesn't show all things that a map could show.
Yes, but she's not addressing the core contention that nobody broke into her building, nobody threatened or harassed her, and there's no evidence that she was in any danger at all, which was the core contention that she does not refute. So this is essentially an admission that she's not telling the truth.
Otherwise, she would have refuted it.
Otherwise, she would have just refuted it. Here's the proof that this happened. You know, but there is none. I mean, do we think there are no security cameras or anything like that around any of these buildings? Like, do we think that there's absolutely no surveillance whatsoever on the Capitol Hill complex? Like, come on.
I mean, the only other person that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but we had the story in which her staffers were trying to claim that this and that happened, and they work for her. Mm-hmm. So their opinion is worthless in this regard.
Yeah, I mean, she literally pays them.
So
why wouldn't they back her story up?
The only person alleging any of this happened is her, and the video evidence and the geographic evidence
and the witness
testimony all show that this is a lie.
Yes. And so Twitter has been having a lot of fun with this. We can see a few artist renderings of the events. This is her watching it on TV, where they, again, the evidence, the photographs suggest that they were storming the Capitol building rather than anyone's offices. And of course, she's there crying about this. We'll talk about where that came from in a minute. Alexandra Ocasio-Smollett was trending, as you can see, which... that's just genius. For anyone who didn't know, Jussie Smollett was an actor from a TV program called Empire, and he claimed that he was attacked in Chicago at like 2 o'clock when he went to get a salad from Subway or something by two MAGA hat wearing Nigerians who put a noose around his neck and said, "This is MAGA country," and that seems to have been
obvious
the end of
lie.
It. Yeah, obvious
and then
lie.
The
yeah.
investigation found, yeah, this is an obvious lie.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway. That's where that came from.
I can see the chat is also doing this today. You know, AOC stole Chaga's teeth. AOC was storming the beaches.
Yeah. I mean, like, these memes are just great. Obviously, if you're listening, you can't see it, but let's carry on. Oh, dear. So this one is her crying in a bathroom.
And you can see, like, the Capitol out the window ever so slightly.
Yeah. Carry on. Next one. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I thought we had more. Right. Okay. So, yeah. So in response to this, AOC has been moving hard. I mean, the fact that she's been replying on Twitter to try and counter this narrative.
She knows she's caught out.
She knows she's, yeah. She knows she's made a serious misstep here.
So what would be the moral thing to do here? It'd be like, right. Yeah. Okay. I told a lie.
Or, I was afraid.
Even if you just want to do something tactical and not admit that you're a liar, just say nothing.
Yeah. Don't say anything. Right. But that's the thing. Like, the moral thing to do here would actually be to come out and say, okay, look, that is all true what you're saying, because, you know, the evidence backs it up. But it was a very scary situation. And I don't doubt that it was a scary situation. You know, she would have doubtless been following it on Twitter, seen all the, you know, the rioters like attacking the building and stuff, you know, going into the building. And there were parts where it was them fighting with the cops and them, you know, trying to break in and things like this. And so in the heat of the moment, I can see the argument of being like, look, I was panicking because I was like, oh my God, a lot of them actually really hate me. I might be in danger. And, you know, this is how it felt, even if this isn't necessarily an accurate representation of reality. And there's doubtless her constituency would have been like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. You know, they wouldn't have cared. But instead, now she looks like a liar.
She didn't do any of these things. She didn't do the moral thing. She didn't do the tactical thing. She did something even stupider than lying.
She thought she could. She's burning up a lot of political capital here. And it's weird how she's like, you know, when you've got like a sinking stock, you just pour more money into it. It's like, okay. I'm not sure that's wise, but there we go. But
so this is a newsletter on screen.
Yes.
So this is her writing to her supporters, presumably.
Well, her campaign staff, but you know, it would be under her auspices. So she is ultimately responsible for it. But they say they emailed out, and this has probably gone out to millions of people, by the way. There's probably millions. I mean, she's got like 8 million followers on Twitter. She's probably got, you know, a couple of million doing on her newsletters. So she says, as we speak, right-wing operatives with millions of followers on social media are spreading flat-out lies and misinformation about Alexandria. Yeah, they're not, though, are they? But with your help, we can force Twitter and Facebook to take action and enforce their own rules. I don't actually think it's against Twitter and Facebook's rules to tell the truth on social media yet.
Well,
I mean, some cases.
Depends
maybe.
How you view their fact checkers, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I suppose it does, yeah.
But of course, this is alluding to the fact that those fact checkers are partisan. It's, you know, a Democratic operative here saying that we're being caught lying, therefore we need to use Facebook and Twitter to our advantage to shut down people pointing out we're lying.
Because they're on our side, because the rules favor us. What's so frustrating about these attacks is, once the truth comes out, so few people get to hear it. Oh, don't worry, millions of people have heard the truth by now. Hundreds of thousands or potentially millions of people will already seen and shared misleading tweets or fake news articles. We need your help. Here's what you can do. You can scan your social media to find posts with this misleading information, especially those using the trending hashtag. Don't tweet any hashtags yourself, because we don't want to spread them further. Identify any posts that are threatening or harassing and use the built-in report features to flag them for moderators. Both Facebook and Twitter have tools for reporting tweets that break the rules. Well, that's right. Just go around flagging wantonly as much misinformation as you can.
Well, I don't want to move over this. I want to labor this a little bit. Point one there. Scan your social media for misleading information, especially those using the trending hashtag. The trending hashtag. No mention of what that hashtag is, because it's the Alexandria Ocasio-Smollett.
Yep. That's very clever. Very clever. They are excellent propagandists at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's team.
But then telling you, if anyone's calling us out, use the report function. Yep. They're on our side. They will take down these tweets.
There is the implication there, yes. There is definitely what they're implying. The sad thing is, a lot of damage has already been done. People have been misled and radicalized. I mean, that's very ironic coming from the radicalizer in chief, to be honest.
Two terrorist attacks.
Yeah, two terrorist attacks. Yeah, exactly. They believe the lies to the point where the hatred could someday boil over into violence. Trust us, we know. She didn't say that. But but anyway, so this is obviously not the first time she's faked stuff. This is actually a tweet of someone trying to defend her, crying at the border, at the detention camp. But again, like the defense and the photo don't show.
So, just for the context, so this was in the midst of her allegations that these facilities
the concentration camps. Yeah.
So she went down to what everyone presumed to be one of these detention facilities and stood in front of a fence and then took photo ops of herself, all wearing white for some reason.
Yeah, looking steely at the camera or crying.
Yeah, and the security guard stood on the other side of the fence wondering why she turned up to a parking lot.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a detention facility she was standing in front of or looking at.
And the great thing is, we can see what she was looking at and it's not really anything.
No, it was a parking lot.
Yes, that's why we've chosen this photo. I don't know why Walter Shaw thought this was a defense of AOC, because I don't consider it to be a defense of her.
This is another Schmollett moment. If there were, you know, people being processed on the other side or something,
sure,
she could justify her crying.
Yeah.
But she was looking at cars. Just cars in a parking lot.
Yeah, she could have taken this photo anywhere. This is not the first time she's lied and faked stuff. And it's amazing that there's no one around her, like in the Democratic Party, going, look, this is actually a huge mistake. Just let it go. Say, okay, yeah, I just had a bit of a moment. I'm sorry. Yeah,
like the world's going to end in 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, you saw how that one got dropped. Yeah. That would be the smart thing to do, yeah, tactically.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to bung up cows' buttholes, you know, things like this, you know. Like all of these things, stupid things that she's done and dropped, you should just drop this one too. There was another faux pas on Twitter from A1 Greta Thunberg as well, which isn't a huge deal because, let's be honest, we kind of all knew this was going to be the case. But it's just funny how Greta accidentally tweeted out a document from, I guess, what we can call her handlers, who had just told her basically she's got to attack India because of their lack of, I don't know, adherence to the climate fascism that they're interested in imposing. And just so we get to see exactly the way that Greta's Twitter profile is managed. You know, there's like, dear celebrity or person, why are we not talking about this and stuff like that?
Do you know
this?
Who she was responding to here?
I don't think she was responding to anyone, actually.
So she's responding to, you can see it's a response to someone, and she links Google document, and then if you click on the Google document, you find what we're looking at. And this tweet has since been deleted, is my understanding.
Of course, yeah.
Because she found out that, oh no, I'm revealing how the system works.
Yes.
And how the system works is incredible.
Yes. So she is just a mouthpiece for an international climate activist organization, really. It's transparent. We actually know exactly how they work now.
Like, it's very, for anyone who's just listening, it's point by point what you need to do to become this manufactured product that is these kind of people that go viral amongst the elite. So you can see, you know, share video or photo with this email address, preferably at this time, you know, this celebrity message, this kind of thing. It's very, very basic, but it's the patheticness of, if you email these people, they will do the job for you.
Yes.
And then your manufactured image will just become it.
Manufactured is the best way to describe it. It is not organic. It is very much stage managed, like everything that the left does. It's all fakery.
And it's irritating because we've always believed this about Greta's not the only one, obviously.
No. But I think AOC's probably got a lot
nice
of this behind
it. It's nice to get the primary documents.
Yes.
You know, they don't want. They clearly deleted it.
Yeah.
And you'll get this from George Soros's organizations as well.
Yep.
Where they're very like, you know, they give them a bunch of money and they're like, right, do this, and eventually you will end up with a movement with 100,000 followers or something.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
All contrived, all backed by big money, and none of it being spontaneous. And that's the difference, really, with a lot of right-wing activism. Like, no one for a second, I think, thinks that Trump had a bunch of handlers telling him what to tweet. Like, you know, at least on the right, there's a bit of spontaneity and humanness about it. You know, it's not just...
Yeah, could you imagine giving him a document saying, you need to do this? He'd just burn it and, you know, smoke it or something, I don't know.
Yeah. he's definitely just going to ignore it and tweet whatever he wants. It's been a massive L in the past few days for left-wing activism online, which has been great.
Their credibility is in the toilet.
Absolutely. And the other Democrats should be looking at this and going, oh my God, I knew she was a liability, because she's a liability. And the interesting thing is the amount of political capital they're sinking into this is remarkable, because like, you only have so much. And if you're engaging, and she and the Democrats have been engaging in a full frontal assault on the Conservatives at what they believe is the weakest point, which is Hawley, Cruz, and the other lady that is new, and so no one knows who she is, Marjorie Green, I think her name was, because she was like, you know, Trump was the legit president, you stole it. And so the fact that they're going as hard as they can, try and essentially kind of break Republican power, if the Republicans can stay strong on this, and this will probably come to the question of Trump's impeachment, which I'll probably cover tomorrow. If the Republicans can stay strong on this, not only, and I don't think they actually need to do anything other than just hold the line, but if Republicans stay and hold the line on this, then essentially what will happen is the Democrats will be forced into a rout where AOC, and which is happening now, where the sort of walls are closing in on Twitter, everyone thinks she looks ridiculous, and then they'll start collapsing back in on themselves. So Republicans, don't give them an inch, hold the line. They're wrong. They're wrong to support her. They're wrong to propagate this lie. You're right, and the public can see it.
I also quite like, I saw people like Tim Pool not to single him out, he's not the only one, who will say things like, Ocasio-Cortez is actually brilliant for the left because she's able to get under Republican skin and whatnot. But that's actually, I think, the opposite. I think it's wonderful that people like her become such a mainstream image.
Yes.
Because then normal people who are not that involved with politics will see this and see what they're up to more and more often.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing.
I mean, well, that's the thing. It's because she's misplayed her hand here. She is good for the left because she is a very powerful actor. There's no doubt, and there's no point pretending that she doesn't have virtues, even if we don't approve of what she's doing with those virtues.
But I think the long-term damage is...
Yeah, exactly. But the point is, she's also made a massive mistake and could become a massive liability, and I think the Republicans should keep pushing it. Keep making her commit to false stories, and it just gets worse and worse and worse and spirals out of control. But anyway,
the same way for our leftists in the Labour Party.
Exactly, which we'll talk about in a minute, in fact. But first, I understand that we have received asylum seekers in Britain, and that these asylum seekers have shown a great deal of appreciation for us saving them from war. Is that the case?
That's one interpretation, which seems to be the interpretation of our left-wing movement, of our left-wing outlets in media. The video evidence suggests otherwise.
Oh my God, so... not again. I can't believe reality is once again BTFOing the left.
The problem with socialism, it's just like, they end up going to war with reality and then they don't win, ever. So that's their problem. So just to catch people up who may not know, a lot of people are not in tune with what's going on in Britain, but we had a problem of people starting to come over in boats a lot more than they used to over the English Channel from France, a safe country, and then claiming asylum in the UK, in which almost all of them were, or at least 50%, I believe, were just liars. We did not decline their application on the basis that you were a liar. Yeah. You were safe and you came over here. And there was a lot of public outrage because the Conservative government, when doing, I think, over-generous in what they were doing in response to such a number of illegals who were clearly lies.
Putting them up in 4-star hotels doesn't seem necessary.
So let's get this image up. This is thank Nigel Farage for this. I have to give him credit. He went out and did the journalism that no one else was doing, which was to go out and report on the increase in numbers. And then where were they going? Well, they were being sent to nice hotels to be housed as temporary accommodation while your asylum application is being processed. And there's somewhat of an argument for this. You've got to keep them somewhere. But then the question obviously arose, well, why can't we do that for homeless people? You know, why are these people being given such generous accommodation?
Yep.
Where in other parts of the world, if you need an asylum place, you set up an asylum camp or something like this, which is not a bad argument. I don't have anything
wrong with that. What's the argument against it?
Yeah, so it was just that, I don't know, we have the money, I guess, but we don't. We're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, we don't have the money. What are you talking about? We're in a massive recession.
So the government got very embarrassed about this. And, thank you, Nigel, for making them embarrassed. And they decided they would, as we reported on before, they would start opening up army barracks and use them as areas to hold people. So instead of building new camps, we'll just use the army barracks that's not being used.
Because, I mean, we've got a load of unused army barracks because our army is shrinking.
Yeah, we keep getting rid of soldiers.
Yeah.
So if you can get to the BBC, this is Napier Barracks, in which they opened up to asylum applicants, and the first people started arriving. There was much hubbub about how this would be wonderful for the local community or some such nonsense. And as you can see there, not very many women and children, it turned out. So that's something to keep in mind. And the response was, oh no, the far right are going to be upset that they're here. So the local left-wingers decided to show up for a welcome day at Napier Barracks for these migrants.
Right.
And the couple of quotes from here. So organizers of a welcome event for refugees housed at Napier Barracks say the narrative that the locals are against asylum seekers is a false one. Very happy to have you here. That's really what's going on.
Good for them.
Bridget Chapman was one of the organizers and is a leading member of Kent Refugee Action Network. So that'll become more important.
Well, how many refugees are they taking in? I mean, they've got houses that they could take refugees into, don't they?
So my understanding at this point, we have 35,000 current applicants or something like this. It's a big number. Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. And that's why this is such a concern if it keeps increasing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem for the Conservatives as well. They may end up having to use more hotels because they might run out of barracks at this point.
Build a wall around Dover.
Mm. So I wanted to mention what Bridget's been up to, this organizer who was so involved. She set up a Christmas appeal for her Refugee Action Network, £12,000. I'm sure that's lovely for her. Mm-hmm. And I found this weird because she mentions in here that the purpose of raising this money was to help unaccompanied asylum-seeking children.
Are there any?
Doesn't seem to be, by the video footage.
Okay, right.
Or at least the number is incredibly low. And she explains,
we haven't x-rayed their teeth yet, I suppose. Yeah, so we don't know.
But she explains in this long block of text that essentially the housing will be given to asylum seekers until they're 21, at which point they are adults and meant to go find their own housing. This is, as far as I'm aware, factually just false.
Right.
Because we can look at the barracks. The guys in there are older than 21. Yeah. The guys in the hotels are older than 21. She's just lying to the public to raise money from what I can see in there. But, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
And this is also the kind of people who are encouraging these folks to come. They're the ones saying that no human is illegal. We need to have open borders. And just to remind people, because we did cover it, Bridget is an Antifa person. This is not an off random person. If you just scroll up for the context here, this is Teespring saying they weren't going to host Antifa content anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's, terrorism, and that's a correct stance,
yes,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
And she's upset about this, saying, how can you do this? It's only anti-fascism. You're either fascist or anti-fascist. Which are you, Teespring?
You're either a terrorist or not a terrorist. Which are you, Teespring?
Pathetic. Like,
Teespring sided with the not terrorists as well.
She's an disgraceful ideologue. And there's one more link here I think we have. So this is her atting BBC World Service, saying it's Antifa, not Antifa. Stress on the latter syllable. So, like, trying to correct them in the pronunciation. So these are the kind of people who are promoting the migration. They
important.
Are not average folks who just welcome it like all of the community.
Yeah.
These are the radical leftists who think that
Twitter borders, leftists, yeah.
Well, and off Twitter. I don't just want to contain it to Twitter.
But I think that the reason using Twitter leftist, I think, is a useful thing is because essentially they get their ideology from Twitter.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And they've not just been, whining on Twitter and whatnot. These people go out and raise money, do real things. So one of the things they did is they had a protest down at the barracks to condemn what was going on. So I don't think this is Bridget herself, but it's these kind of groups.
Bloody hell, what are they trying to imply?
So they're throwing blood, for people who don't see, all over the entrance. If you go to the next image,
it looks like something out of The Shining.
Yeah, the message here is that Priti Patel has blood on her hands because she's... What?
Why?
What? Like, what's the problem?
Because
here?
She's put migrants in a safe location.
Like, I've set up this barracks to hold them. We're holding them in hotels. We're literally letting thousands in. Where, to be honest, the more responsible thing would be to just send them back to France.
Yes,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
And for doing this, she's got blood on her hands.
What on earth is wrong with these people?
But I love the idea that also this is the far right. Actually, they're trying to shut down the camp. They don't want them there.
I mean, if you were a migrant and you saw this, you'd be like, "What the hell is wrong with these people? What are they doing? They're throwing blood all over the entrance to the camp."
Yeah.
Why?
Weird. But the migrants know what's going on. They're not idiots. They know politics because they've introduced them to it. So if you get the next one, this is them protesting in congruence with the left wing forces there who want to shut down this barracks after saying it was such a lovely thing to have in the community.
Yeah.
Notice how that narrative went out the window.
Yeah.
And this chap here is holding a sign that says, the refugee.
No. It says the refgee.
His spelling is bad. But I can't talk.
The refgee has right to stay in a home. That's not true. You actually don't have a right to a home. Homes are not human rights. Human rights don't require the labor of others. Let me have a quick conversation with you about Locke.
Have you read Locke, Mr. Yeah. Syrian?
Maybe they should all be forced to. Clearly they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. There's also the point here that the majority, just in case, because I did just say Syrian, which is the majority aren't Syrian. The majority are apparently Iranian, according to the statistics.
Of course they're not Syrian.
And those that are not Iranian come from as far as Pakistan, Senegal, all over the third world. So
why would you be a refugee from Pakistan? Why wouldn't you just immigrate like every other Pakistani?
Northern Pakistan might be in a state of war. I don't know what the current situation is.
Immigrate like the rest of them.
But then just go to the south of Pakistan, or go to Iran, or Turkey, or Greece, or Serbia.
Get on a bloody plane like the rest of them do. What the hell's wrong?
Any of the countries in between us and Britain on the other side of the planet, perhaps, might be a safe place.
What I mean is you don't need to pretend to be a refugee to get into Britain as a Pakistani. That's just not a requirement.
by the immigration statistics, apparently not.
No.
But this is what they're doing. So they've been radicalizing the locals, and I find it abhorrent.
Radicalizing.
Making them do these protests and whatnot to be like, you guys are being so mistreated, and I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. And this is the reason they were protesting, was the conditions of the camp, as they're saying. So if you can get the next one, this is a BBC article.
It's good enough for the soldiers. It's good enough for you.
Yeah. So... This is the BBC saying the asylum seeker camp conditions prompt inspection calls. So the idea that they're not giving enough. Well, okay, sure, we'll have an inspection.
Yeah.
And I read through this, and most of the complaints are just army barracks problems.
It's they've never been on an army barracks before. But I grew up on an army camps. I know exactly what army barracks are like.
They're not 3-star hotels.
No, they're not. No, but they're meant.
They're not meant to be.
No, they're meant to be quite austere because you're meant to be going into a war. But austere is the best way I think of describing them because I mean they're not luxury hotels. I mean, if you're used to 4-star hotels, I suppose maybe it's a bit of a downgrade. But if you're expecting to be shot by like revolutionaries or whatever in the country you fled from,
yeah.
Then surely it's a step up.
But it's also a deterrent because people, you know, people crossing the channel are doing so illegally. There is no reason to do so. You are safe in France and you're risking your life by doing it. So we need to deter these people. And part of that process is saying, right, putting people in hotels just means that they send messages on their phones back saying, hey, look at the hotel. Ain't this nice?
Yeah. Look at the money they've given me as well.
We'll put them in a barracks instead. And then this is fine. This complies with standards, but it's the point of we need to make sure that they don't think they're getting free money out of all this like they have been or do in Sweden.
Like they do in Germany.
Yeah, the absolute memes that come out of the rest of the continent.
Insufferable, absurd. Yeah.
And the complaints in here that weren't just, it's an army barracks, kind of reveal that it's a lot of their own fault. So one of them says that most of the bathrooms are broken. Okay, I wonder how that happened. They are filled with tissues, masks, everything you can find. They are blocked. They don't work.
Yeah, but they weren't being used before you got there.
So who's throwing the masks in?
Yeah.
Like, is that the army officers?
Like, again, I actually know what disused army barracks look like because when we were teenagers, we used to break into them. And
Lock the toilets for fun?
No, they're always left in a clean state, obviously, because the soldiers are instructed to clean them before they leave. I mean, they, you know, run down, obviously, after 6 months or a year of not being used, you know, it starts to get a bit run down and moldy, maybe. But yeah, that's clearly the evidence of human habitation.
The occupants are causing the problem there. And it's like, right, a blocked toilet. Just unblock it.
Yeah.
That's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, you could clean it.
This isn't the only instance of protest, though. Even though we're in a national lockdown, as in no one is meant to leave their house at the moment unless you're going for exercise, food, or work, if you're permitted to go to work, Allah willing.
Yeah.
That's not stopped the refugee climate activists, because apparently those are the same thing, climate and refugees. So this is another one of these organizations.
Pretty Patel, where is your humanity? Are you saying that Indian women aren't human?
# refugee lives matter.
That's weird.
Of course, all these things are cross-pollinated.
It's a weird racist flex from the left.
So the message here for people who can't see is climate activists for refugees, and then they're saying solidarity with the residents of Napier and penalty barracks.
Yeah.
So that's them complaining about this. And this is in the middle of a national lockdown, you know, a couple of days ago. Yeah. This is not permitted. This is criminal activity right now, or not. I'm not saying it should be. I'm saying that
no. Obviously, we oppose lockdowns, but yeah.
Yeah, and the people who could get in trouble for doing this, so politicians have been doing this from the safety of their homes to not get called out. So this is the Green Party doing
God,
this.
God, Caroline Lucas.
Napier in solidarity, # stand with Napier from the Green Party.
Can we get people memeing this? Like replace the, because I love it whenever someone's holding up a piece of paper and with a message on it.
Yeah, Nigel Farage had this done to him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Can we not get this photoshopped?
Yeah.
It's perfect, actually.
Link in the show notes. Hope you want to get that image. But it's not just the Green Party fanatic weirdos, the Labour Party also doing this.
Of course
they were. So if this is John McDonald, MP, of course.
All right, commie.
Napier in solidarity.
John, I'm a Marxist McDonald. My job is to overthrow capitalism.
I support the call for the closure of this camp, # stand with Napier. I love how this was welcomed by the community, and now it's got to be closed, damn it.
Yeah, but he supports like the defunding of the armed forces, the abolition of our nuclear weapons, and all this sort of stuff. So it's like, well, get out.
But apparently, the migrants were listening to him on Twitter, I suppose, because they've decided to take the closure of the camp into their own hands. So let's play a clip of what transpired over the last few days.
They had a football pitch as well.
People chattering. They set fire to the place.
Thanks.
They set fire to their accommodation. That's what seems to have happened. And you can see here, Care for Calais. So this is another one of these left-wing cancerous organizations promoting what's gone on here. And they say that their fire has broken out.
Oh, yes, it's just broken out.
After an upsetting afternoon for residents.
Oh, dear.
Okay, that seems like Care for Calais is sort of insinuating there that the migrants lit the fire.
God, I, I, I love the way that this is now, after watching this, you know, burn and loot its way across Germany, now it's here.
Yeah.
God damn it.
But I just, you know, keep this in mind, because this will come back up. Care for Calais. Fire is broken out after an upsetting afternoon for residents. Seems like they're insinuating that a fire broke out by the residents. I can't labor that point enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because the response is, Priti Patel came out and said that this was deeply offensive to the taxpayers of this country.
Based.
Yes, because burning down the accommodation we give you for free, after you violently break the law of multiple countries trying to get here, honestly, no one has sympathy with these people in this country.
No, they're adventurers. No. They're not refugees, they're adventurers. And if I were Priti Patel, I would say, well, this is where you're living, so maybe you want to clean it up, and then just make sure there are police around that won't let them just randomly wander off.
Yeah, it's also personally, I find this absolutely disgusting, because these people not only are just obvious chancers, and that's bad enough, but it means that a genuine asylum seeker coming from a genuinely totalitarian country that will kill them if they return won't get a place.
Yep.
You know, we know people who have, well, we know of people who have come here and are now being denied on these basis, and in the places they go back to if they have to, it is not possible for them to live. So these chancers who are just in no danger doing it for an adventure, scumbags. I can't stress this enough. Yeah, no. So her statement on this, talking about it.
Yeah.
She says here that the Home Office will support police to take robust action against those vandalizing property, threatening staff, and putting lives at risk.
Excellent.
So you can see they overturned those chairs and stuff. That's clearly a mess hall being destroyed, and also the place being set on fire.
Yeah.
And apparently they've been threatening staff as well.
Right, okay. Well, and then, they should have police just be like, no, clean it up.
Good on Priti for saying this.
Yeah.
And the response from the left-wing press, how dare she? How dare she say this? Priti Patel suggests that the fire in the Kent asylum seekers site was started deliberately. How could she say this? Oh my God. And there's a quote in here. There's, you know, Guardian garbage, but there's a quote in here.
Why do we even need to just suggest it? Maybe we could just outright accuse.
From Claire Mosley, weird last name, founder of Care for Calais, that organization we just mentioned, says that for a British Home Secretary to accuse and castigate ordinary people when the facts of this incident are not yet known is shocking and disturbing.
Ordinary people.
But you in your organization tweeted that the fire had started out after an upsetting evening for the residents. So
what was so upsetting?
What were you insinuating with that tweet? Claire, sod off. And this isn't the first time that something like this has happened. There's precedent for Priti Patel to say that this is likely the residents doing it, which is that a similar thing happened in Greece a while back. So this is also during COVID, and you know, this is running with the complaints that they're saying it's not COVID safe, which would lead to them setting fire to the place. So this was a big camp that was set fire, 13,000 people there, all destroyed because someone didn't want to stay in the camp. Well, too bad. It's the middle of a pandemic. What did you expect?
Well, I can't help but the camp was called Moria, so have we ruled out a Balrog? I'm just saying Lord of the Rings is becoming remarkably relevant to modern politics. I don't know why.
We have ruled this out.
have we?
So, and I just want to make... Like,
because the refugees weren't doing any mining, right?
No, because they've been charged. So the camp sets on fire. The next one is just left-wing press trying to defend it. The Moria refugee camp for help for asylum seekers dehumanized. So this is, sorry, I can't see the thing.
Yeah.
The Moria refugee camp fire was a cry for help for asylum seekers dehumanized by Greece and the EU. They're setting fire to the place because they've been dehumanized. They're the victims here, as they set fire to the property they've been given.
Mm-hmm.
So the media backs them up, and then the reality comes out, which is that four Afghani migrants have been charged with the fire. So the process is still going on. But they believe that, yes, they set fire to this place, we will charge them with arson. They risk the lives of 13,000 people by setting fire to that place.
Yes.
No sympathy whatsoever.
Yes.
I'm sorry, this is criminally negligent arson at best.
Yes.
And I don't think it's negligent, I think it's purposeful.
But more importantly, like, you've been taken in by a country that owes you nothing out of the kindness of their hearts. And it's not like, again, not like Greece has just got resources to spare. And your response is to behave badly.
Yeah, and the same thing has happened here. So the left-wing press is backing this up. Not just that one Guardian article, but there's another one, if we can get it up, of them defending what's going on here. The Napier Barracks fire is an indictment of Britain's inhumane asylum policy.
We should abolish it.
Oh, is it?
Send them back.
And they have to concede the facts in this article, which makes the author look pathetic and the Guardian look pathetic. 14 people have been arrested in connection with the fire, which Kent police say that they believe was started deliberately. The police, but same thing. Police believe that they've done this on purpose, but this shows that Britain is bad.
Police are white supremacists?
Crazy.
I mean, we can always expand on this.
Yeah, and the condemning in here from them is also pathetic.
Yeah,
the home. So they're referring to the fact that the complaint is that the camp isn't suitable and we should instead give them hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Saying the Home Office itself acknowledges that using the barracks is partially to make sure that asylum seekers don't get too comfortable. The department's own equality impact assessment of the scheme states that less generous support is justified by the need to control immigration.
Correct.
And that better conditions would undermine public confidence in the asylum system.
Correct.
What's wrong with that? There is nothing wrong
totally
with that.
Totally accurate, totally moral, totally fair.
Yeah, and they mention here that currently as many as 9,500 asylum seekers are living in temporary hotel accommodation at great expense to the taxpayer.
Yes.
And there's one more part in here which I thought was just the amazing that they left this in. I don't know how. And the author says, in reference to all this going on, that last year a series of deaths in Glasgow prompted calls for a public inquiry. Series of deaths in Glasgow. In response to housing.
I mean, there are lots of potential reasons that could have happened.
Migrants are being housed in Glasgow in hotels, and there was a series of deaths. I wonder how that happened. So this is The Guardian reporting how that happened. If we can get the next one up. From Sudan to the Park Inn, the tragic story of a migrant's killing. So a migrant died,
It sounds like, yeah.
Tragic series of
deaths. A migrant was killed, yeah.
Migrants must have been killed, presumably by the far right. We keep being told that they're the ones threatening these folks.
Yeah.
And then you read the first paragraph, which reveals that, no, these people are just outright lying to you.
Oh, look at this. On the last Friday of June, about midday, Badreddin Abdallah Adam left his room at the Park Inn Hotel in Glasgow, walked down to reception, and stabbed six people. Why are you trying to make it like he's the victim of this?
The 28-year-old, an asylum seeker from Sudan, who had been placed in the hotel as part of the UK government's emergency system response to the coronavirus pandemic, stabbed and severely injured three other residents, three other asylum seekers, two members of staff, and a policeman.
Christ.
He was then shot dead by the police. The police shot dead the man who was stabbing people to death, and The Guardian's like, the tragic story of this man. His death is tragic.
Amazing.
A series of deaths took place in Glasgow.
Amazing. Is it just
infuriating to read this stuff, and that's why I had to bring it up. And I'm sorry I've gone on a little bit longer.
No, it's okay, because it actually leads quite nicely into the next segment, which is Labour's problem with patriotism. And Labour has many problems with patriotism, and always has. Labour, for a long time, have essentially been co-opted by the communists, going back to literally like, you know, early 2010s, like early 2013, 2014. And this has been something that led to the rise of Jeremy Corbyn as Twitter leftists infected the Labour Party, worked their way up through the ranks, started infecting the sort of organs of the party itself, and turning it against the country. And you see this egged on by the media. There's a kind of like left-wing industrial complex that ends up creating this kind of sort of cultural space. And this is how you end up with people going, oh, look at this poor asylum seeker. It's like, yeah, because everything against Britain, you know, everything against Britain becomes good, everything for Britain becomes bad, and this puts the Labour Party in the position they're currently in now. I mean,
so,
like,
so if a foreigner murders members of staff and a policeman, that's a good thing.
That foreigner is the victim, and, you know, Britain bad.
And those staff, they kind of had it coming. Working in a hotel, the working class.
Taxpayers having to pay to rebuild all of this stuff after you've been, you know, put up there at their expense.
Yeah, but
they're the oppressors.
I want to get the point here. Like, the people working in hotels at lowest level jobs, the working class people of Britain, they deserve to be murdered. That's essentially the position you end up at, which is that their lives don't matter.
Their lives don't matter is the position you essentially end up at. And, I mean, this is an old problem. Like, this is Emily Thornberry in 2014, where someone had put up in England some English flags, and she was screeching about the far right. And so, you know, we don't need to talk about it because it's from 2014. Yeah. But
it's a very working class thing to do.
It's a very, very working class thing to do. And, but it should be also be a middle class thing to do. It's weirdly, this is the kind of alliance. It's like a working class and upper class thing to do. Because, I mean, in 2013, Boris was parading around with English flags going, look, we need to reclaim the English flag.
The toffs and the working class love the English flag.
Exactly.
Middle classes and the Labour Party hate it.
Exactly. The single degree university educated midwits who have bought into essentially, you know, the most pure view of the Enlightenment completely reject any kind of patriotism or national pride. And this is, like I said, this has been a problem for a long time. And this is why Jeremy Corbyn got so absolutely canned by Boris. Because if there's one thing about Boris that you can't fault him on, It is the fact that he seems to genuinely be a patriot. He genuinely seems to like this country. He seems to like the Union, and he seems to think we can do good. And at the end of the day, he's got so many other failings, but that you can't fault him on. And so Keir Starmer has obviously figured this out, that actually it turns out that if we say we hate the country and we should be a bunch of urban elitists...
Yeah, the public don't like that.
The public don't like it, and they don't tend to vote for it. And so there was a leaked document that was a presentation given as a strategy, an internal strategy presentation that was given, that the left is outraged by, absolutely outraged by. I mean, as you can see from the title, leak reveals Labour plan to focus on flag and patriotism to win back voters. How dare they? We spent so much time undermining and destroying this country, and you're just going to be like, no, we like this country. That's unacceptable, right? So Labour apparently must make use...
How pathetic do you have to be to like, maybe we should like the flag?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll get to all that. Because it's unreal.
Have we tried liking the country we're trying to rule?
Yeah, have we tried not berating the voters? Labour must make use of the Union flag, veterans, and dressing smartly as part of a radical rebranding to help it win back the trust of disillusioned voters, according to this presentation. It's like, really? Not hating veterans and dressing smartly? I mean, Corbyn, you've really done some damage to the party if it's got to go back to the most basic of things. Like, I mean, I would expect this to be like the presentation of a child in school, you know?
I think Britain good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe we should wear suits, you know, support our troops and wave the flag. And that should be the entry requirement for British politics, basically.
Like your son would give that presentation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. The presentation, which has been seen and heard by The Guardian, is aimed at what the party calls foundational seats, a new term for the Red Wall, which itself is a fairly new term anyway, that handed Boris Johnson the landslide because Labour have realised they got absolutely kicked. It reveals that voters could not describe who or what Labour stands for. Good job. That's what happens when you bring in the left. What do you stand for? Pfft. While Labour leader Keir Starmer is rated by voters as the party's biggest positive driver, concerns were voiced about him sitting on the fence. The strategy is yet to be shared with MPs or staffers, and the Labour Party managers are understood to be preparing a redacted version because of its, quote, sensitivity. Some parties who have seen the presentation are alarmed by the language, believing that the leadership has not reckoned with the nationalistic sentiments it invokes. Yes, it is nationalistic, or what I would call patriotic, to support the troops and support the flag. And dress smartly, I guess, as well. You know, you don't have to look like a bunch of college students or bums, Jeremy Corbyn. And this is coming from me.
He's not even wearing a shirt.
I'm not even wearing a shirt, but this is quite nice. This looks quite neat. Shut up.
Cope.
True. I can't go and buy shirts. Everything's closed. Yeah. You know, I will go and buy some new shirts when everything opens up. So, you know, you can write to Boris if you think that I'm not dressed smartly enough.
We've got the flag.
We've got the flag. Exactly. Got the flag. And we support the troops. What little of them are left, you know. One Birmingham vote. It is like we've lost a war, to be honest. It's weird. Anyway, one Birmingham voter described Labour as two different parties under one name, and an ex-Labour voter from Grimsby is quoted saying they are the voice of the students, they have left real people, taxpayers, behind. Well, that's true, but that's only because real people / taxpayers are bigoted far-righters who are, you know, colloquial sort of little Englanders who hate the idea of international communism. Anyway, what a bunch of racists. But anyway, the presentation suggests that displays of patriotism are needed to reinforce that the party has changed. One slide says, belonging needs to be reinforced through all messengers. Another is headed, communicating Labour's respect and commitment for the country that can represent a change in the party's body language. Yeah, well, that is very different to Jeremy Corbyn, who demonstrated a respect and commitment. And same with Emily Thornberry, by the way, who went to Fidel Castro's funeral. Anyway, after Jeremy Corbyn called Castro a champion of social justice, it does seem like the Labour Party doesn't have much of a commitment to Britain. And obviously, this is the only strategy that Labour have to become a relevant party again. Because believe it or not, the communist constituency is actually very small.
I must say in my mind, like I'm thinking a bunch of socialists who dress smartly and wave a bunch of flags and are very in tune with the military and support the military. Haven't we got a word for that?
Yeah, the SNP.
No, but like the neo-socialists, the Oswald Mosleys of the world.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they are drifting. I mean, fascism comes out of the left.
You've got to drop the socialism part. Yes. Yeah, like, that's the other part that makes that cancerous.
Exactly. Historically, this kind of combination comes out of the left, and it probably is a result of realizing, Christ, the left actually hates us. But anyway, among the top recommendations is the use of the flag, veterans, Destin Smartly, etc., etc. Blah, blah, blah. Right, so the lefty Labour MPs are not happy about this. Clive Lewis, one of Labour's leading ethnic minority MPs, said the Tory party has absorbed UKIP-based, and now Labour appears to be absorbing the language and symbols of the Tory party. Really? So the so you are literally giving the Conservative Party the British flag. What a bloody stupid...
We gave the Tory party Britain. Yes, you did.
Unbelievable. Now, where do you want to get elected? Cuba?
God. God, it's such a brainlet meme, you know, like the brain's actually missing.
He decried the party's flag waving. I mean, he's just openly condemning waving the British flag at this
but
point.
But I don't want to support Britain.
Yeah, well, that's exactly his point, right? It's not patriotism, it's fatherlandism. Okay. There is a better way to build social cohesion than moving down the track of the nativist right. Well, you don't seem to have come up with any good alternatives for Keir Starmer. I mean, there literally is only one option now, and it's for Keir Starmer to essentially come out and commit to being a patriot. Which, again, not exactly a difficult position, you'd think. But
Helen Dales said to us before, it's easier, you know, one of the things that made the victory for Boris easy was that it's easier for the Tories to go left on economics than it is for Labour to go right on
patriotism.
Culture.
Yeah.
And this just shows how much of a tough time they have with it.
Oh,
like, can we just be proud of the flag? Like, just that tiny step.
Oh, we'll get to it in a minute why they can't be. I realize we're running on a bit and we might not have.
We can go a little bit later.
We'll do our best. But anyway, so the strategy accepts that Labour has excluded and ignored once core voters, etc., etc., right? And research concludes that the part Labour is essentially far too far to the left on economics as well, and lacks no part of the brand is no part of the brand is insulated. The Labour brand is insulated from a lack of economic credibility. Yes, but it's not like the Conservatives have much economic credibility either. But anyway, this is the manifest damage that the Labour Party, the Communists have done to the Labour Party. And of course, the criticism started rolling in. This was from the Independent, that waving the flag is when you're out of ideas. Oh, shut up. Right? The lazy reaching for the Union Jack just only shows how far the party is from the better answer it needs to urgently find. It's just constant negging from the left, right? It's constant negging. Everything about you is bad. You're bad. You should do what I want. You're bad. You're bad. This is like an abusive girlfriend, right? And I can't stand it.
Why don't you reach for the red flag?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's basically their answer. That's basically their answer. We should be waving the communist flag and singing the Internationale, right? But anyway, my favorite take.
They did in Parliament.
Yeah, I know. That's like I'm sorry. Yeah, we should have been clear about this. Yeah.
Look up Labour Party International Parliament. Yeah. They're literally singing it in the Parliament under Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah, I mean, we're not even joking. You know, maybe we shouldn't have been so flippant about it because maybe people didn't know this. But yeah, they actually sing communist anthems in the British Parliament. But anyway, my favorite take from this was from a one Rachel Swindon, who is a very prolific and dare I say influential Twitter activist.
really went downhill.
Yeah. But this was funny, right? And so Rachel Swindon, for anyone who doesn't know, she apparently lives in Swindon. I don't know whether she does or not. But Rachel, if you ever watch this, if you'd like to come on and have an interview with us and explain to us your political positions in a reasonable and rational manner, we would love to speak to you. Of course, we won't be wearing any masks because actually we don't have to. So, you know, I mean, it's up to you. You can wear a mask if you want. But anyway, Rachel Swindon represents essentially like the unthinking id of the Labour Twitter party. And she obviously puts out this blog post. Go now, Starmer, and take your patronising patriotism with you. This patronising patriotism is a hideous spectacle and has rightfully been widely panned. Okay, I think that's your bubble. Like, you're widely panned on a very small bubble on Twitter. Anyway, she goes on and on and on, but since we're running out of time, I'm going to get to just the bits at the end, what I wanted to get to. It's not the flag we're embarrassed of, it's very pretty, but we're embarrassed by the genocidal history that is attached to it. Okay. Huh? The days of Empire Erotica are long gone, I'm afraid. We were also embarrassed by the fascists who have hijacked the flag. The Tommy Robinsons, the Farages, the knobheads on Twitter calling themselves British Dean. Dude, you need to get off Twitter. I don't know what the hell you're talking about at this point. Like, I don't consider any of those people to be fascists. I don't know what British Dean means.
I don't even know how those people have co-opted the flag. Like, just because they've waved it once, therefore it's theirs.
Literally.
How pathetic are you?
It belongs to everyone in the country.
This is like the Pepe meme. Like, the fascists use it once, therefore we must abandon the whole thing.
They touched it. Quick, get away from it. Yeah.
Like, you have no spine, do you?
Exactly. Exactly. But that's the point. It's not they have no spine. It's that they hate the flag. They view the flag as the empire. And they view the empire as entirely negative, despite the fact that there are many people who are, like, descendants of the empire, like myself, who think the British Empire was bloody great. But yeah, so she goes on and on and on. There's a really long article.
But it sums up the response from all that.
It sums up the response. And of course, this is all being pinned on Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer has to go, is the message. But that's been the message since day one, because Keir Starmer isn't a communist. And unity with communists means submission. But anyway, this started trending. A Labour leadership election trended on Twitter. Of course it did. Lots of, again, Twitter leftists, Twitter Labour Party, carried on. There was one from James E. Foster. I will represent you, I will listen to you, and I will bring our party together. Well, those were colossal lies, Keir Starmer. Maybe he wasn't talking to you, James, you communist. Maybe he was talking to the good people in the North who were like, why has the Labour Party abandoned us for a bunch of crackhead college students? Like, what's going on here?
But it's like, not even that, it's just like, Keir Starmer gets elected. Hey guys, we should probably like the flag. You're not bringing us together. Fuck no. Feel for the guy.
Well, that's exactly it. We can only speak as we find. You've spent more time dividing than uniting, and more time ignoring than listening. Well, that's a wise strategy from Keir, to be honest. The next one is the Left Wing Society, who tweeted out, we are fully behind a Labour leadership challenge. Keir Starmer promised unity. He has delivered anything but. Retweet if you support. And, you know, they've got thousands of retweets. So, I mean, they do have some support there. But unity to the left seems to mean submission to their ideas. If you don't submit, that's it. You're the divider if you don't completely agree with us and do everything we say. But interestingly, Keir Starmer doubled down, which I didn't really expect. But
I think he understands that the communist part of his party is cancer and needs to die.
Yeah, but there's also,
as a tactical move,
he also seems to lack spine to me. And it's honestly kind of in the same way that Boris does. So the fact that he's stood firm on this, unlike AOC, I'm prepared to admit when I had a mistaken intuition. I was wrong. Keir Starmer has more spine than was expected. A Labour spokesman said Starmer was proud to be patriotic. Keir wants to be Prime Minister of this country because he wants to believe that a best future is possible for the country. We can spread opportunities for everyone, blah, 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 blah. You can call it whatever you want, you can call it whatever you want, patriotism or whatever, but that's what he stands for. Right, okay, so you don't even have a good working definition of patriotism. Just like, well, whatever it is you think it is, that's what he stands for. It's like, right, okay, very good. The Union flag represents a country that Labour wants to govern. The Empire. Imperial Labour is rising.
And the British Empire represents what we want to govern.
Well, that's what they're saying. That's what the leftists...
technically.
It's not wrong.
They want to govern India.
I mean, well, Britain as a concept appeared out of the age of imperialism after the Scots had failed in their own colonial empire and the English colonial empire was thriving. And so Britain is an imperial project. There's no question about it. And so, like, the leftists aren't actually wrong. I mean, they're wrong about the characterization of the effect on the world and, like, the context in which it arose and things like
this. This is why they say that Britain is worse than Nazi Germany.
Yeah, ridiculous nonsense.
Professor for Black Studies at Birmingham University.
Yeah, Kehinde Andrews, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's absurdities like that, because they want to represent Britain as having the same will as Nazi Germany, but it's not true. But the point is, it is true that it was an imperial project, and it was born out of the age of imperialism. So, you know, they're not wrong there. So Keir Starmer's basically saying that he'd like to be the ruler of the British Empire. It's like, go on then, Keir. Get started. but anyway, yeah. So Keir is obviously being accused of pandering to the nativist right. He's saying, how you get votes? Don't know what to do. Not my choice.
This is UKIP country. We just live in it.
Exactly. That's exactly what he's saying, basically. And, you know, call it patriotism, whatever you want, but that's what we've got. So you've got to deal with it, haven't you? Communist BTFO. So it's been a nice series of L's for the communists today, in fact, I feel. So that's good. Hmm. Anyway, should we go for... Have we got a video comment from Tim again? Hey. Oh, hello. Right, I'm going to put...
Hi, Lotus Eaters. My question's about the UK elections. So when are they coming up? And are we ready for handling our own potential election irregularities that might come about? There was some talk about voter ID, but I don't know if anything ever came of it. Do we have enough time to get this all cleaned up? And good to know so that we can apply pressure if we need to. Thank you very much.
As I'm understanding it, because we had an election in 2019, the next one's in 2024. So incidentally,
in general. What is it? Mayoral, local elections on May.
Yeah.
I can't remember the specific date. You'd have to Google it.
Yeah.
But we're more worried about the fact that we don't know who do you even support if you're not a complete wet leftist. Like,
well, that's a good question.
Like, even if you're a moderate conservative, a lot of people are disappointed in Boris, rightfully. Yeah. A lot of things he's done and failed at.
Well, it's a lack of moral leadership against wokeism and radical left ideas that are permeating every aspect of society now is really, I think, Boris's main failing. And he could have done such an easy and successful job of this as well, because these ideas do not have popular support.
As for shenanigans, I did some reading when we were looking at election fraud. I read the Electoral Commission's reference to ID and to electronic voting. They actually tried a system of electronic voting a while back in Swindon, was one of them. And the conclusion was just, no, this sucks. this can be messed with. This doesn't work. Not using this ever. Yeah. So hopefully they stick to that. With IDs, they recommended it as it would help, but the political appetite seems to not be there to do it.
Good.
But I wish they would, to be honest. I find it weird that I can just go down and...
Well, the thing is, we don't have government-issued IDs in this country. So you can actually make the argument that actually that is a barrier to entry that some people won't be able to fulfill.
I don't revel the idea of having to use IDs, but I do get more and more concerned when I read the stories like in Birmingham.
Yeah, and Leicester as well, where Labour had a ballot making factory.
Yeah, if it was as simple as just bring your card that they send you or something, that would even be better.
Yeah, that would be fine. Yeah, but yeah, so. Honestly, it's a few years away yet, so I don't have much of a strategy. I'm more concerned about the census that will be going on this year. I think that's going to be an important thing, assuming they even do it, because they've spoken about doing it.
It's under
but it is underway, right? Okay. So yeah, I'm very interested in seeing the results of that, because I think it's going to be a massive slap in the face to a lot of people. And the next one?
Proposition. There's nothing virtuous about virtue signaling. Virtue signaling has nothing to do with virtue. What the woke actually engage in is ideological loyalty signaling. We should not allow those who pursue vice with abandon to describe themselves as virtuous. Instead of saying virtue signaling, we should say scoring ideological loyalty points, as in Harris is scoring so many ideological loyalty points with that tweet. This is a much better description of what the woke actually do with social media. Please discuss.
He's correct.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an entirely true statement. You don't need to signal virtue. Virtue is apparent by just the nature of the thing. The problem is ideological loyalty points, while an accurate phrase in and of itself, because that is exactly what's happening, it's a bit cumbersome. So what we need is a kind of meme representation of that, that it means the same thing. Not an acronym or anything like that, but...
actually, to be honest, you know the silence brand meme? I'd love to have something like that for that kind of thing.
Yeah, silence like partisan or something like
that. Yeah. You know. Spitballing. But the only thing I would add to that is the point Douglas Murray made very succinctly, which is that when you see someone doing something like that, so Gary Lineker taking in refugees, what have they got in their closet? That's the question you should be asking.
Well, yeah.
Because that's what it's for, really.
Mm.
Like, there is obviously the ideological connection. Like, I'm a leftist.
Sure. But why do you feel so compelled? You know, what is it about your regular life that makes you feel morally unsatisfied? You know?
Well, they've all got something in their closet.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. I don't feel the need to go out and virtue signal because I've got loads of stuff on my plate that I'm already doing that I think is the right thing to do. So it's like, why are you bothered about this? You know, you sat around in your mansion going, you know what, maybe I could do something nice for someone else for once.
I use the correct pronouns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It means nothing.
He's right. It's just a dog whistle to say to other leftists, I'm part of you.
Are these all comments that are on the website? Right. Yeah, right, okay, yeah. So there were an awful lot more than we expected. We definitely are not going to have time to get through all of these. So what we're going to do is allow John to pick out a couple for us, and we'll go for those. So, John, do you want to just choose a couple? Or Vicky, can you just pick up? We'll start reading this one that's in front of us, and then if you guys want to just pick a couple. Speaking from the point of view of Yugoslavia, I can confirm that AOC invented simping. Okay, that's enough. No simp posting on the website. Not to spoil the party, but as it's Black History Month, we should acknowledge that the late Captain Sir Thomas More's role in colonial imperialism, both in India and Burma. He also directly profited at the expense of our planets as an industry leader in cement production, which is the third-ranking producer of anthropogenic man-made CO2 in the world, a legacy that will disproportionately affect black and brown lives around the world for generations to come.
Based.
Is that true?
I don't even know, but I'm
just I have no idea. I didn't really know who Captain Sir Thomas More was until everyone was like, oh God, he died. And I'm like, oh no. That's terrible.
For people who don't know, it's a guy who was like 100 and something. He used to be in the army, and then he raised a bunch of money for the NHS in the middle of a pandemic and then got a knighthood and has died.
Yeah. I like Ryan's one. AOC is channeling her inner brave Sir Robin. that's excellent.
Yeah, that's good.
Nicholas Malson says, hello folks, I'd like to take this opportunity to once again thank you for your hard work and dedication. Oh, thank you. I really hope you'll be able to continue providing the content for many years to come. We're going to do our best. Becoming a premium subscriber is worth every penny. Also, you gave me an inspiration for some creative work. I will let you know if anything comes out of it. Please keep being so awesome. Well, thank you very much. It's very kind. Nicholas Fincham says, remember when they called Trump a coward for hiding in his bunker when the mob was burning buildings in DC? Funny how it works differently for the brave young AOC.
Brave AOC.
Yeah, don't we need the
syllable connection?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's coconuts.
Oh yeah.
To do
yeah.
the. But yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is a total lack of leadership. You know, playing the victim. And another thing as well about the AOC thing is that a lot of Bernie Bros on Twitter are like, well, she's just playing the victim. It's like, oh, welcome to feminism. Like, good grief. This has been a very successful tactic for many a year, so you can't let them get away with it. The way AOC is behaving looks like a massive guilt complex playing out. Got to say, though, this has blown apart GME becoming a left-right unifying populist moment. She's such a tool of power, in my opinion.
Controlled opposition.
Yeah.
That's how to put it.
Well, they're elitists. They are absolutely elitists. They always side against the populists. AOC pulled out the fainting couch to get the attention. Yes, she did. Which one am I looking at here, John? Just any of them. Right. When you have the press on your side, you have nearly infinite political capital. That's not true. If that were true, then Hillary would have easily won. Political capital is a very difficult thing to identify, but you know it when you see it. Mm. And it doesn't just mean, having lots of articles written about you. So Gwaine says, hi guys, love your work. I've been following since Gamergate or thereabouts. It's a tad off topic. Always nice to meet a veteran, by the way. But I wonder what your opinion on the cultural distinction between chads and nerds is. As I was always brought up hearing you were either a muscle-bound bonehead or a weedy and smart, but it seemed like an unhealthy modern distinction, as there is plenty of historical precedent for healthy body and mind. Who would you suggest as a cultural touchstone in reversing this split? Keep up the good work.
It's a great one from Sigmund there. Refugees to serve a home. Nice. Your home is now this barracks. Take care of it. Oh, you didn't. Well, it's a good thing we didn't give you something nicer then, isn't it?
Oof, that is based. But to go back to the other one, I mean, like the sort of bifurcation, I think, is an internet invention for people who are not just like sat on Twitter all day every day. That doesn't really exist.
Is it possible to screen migrants for gratitude? Don't know.
Do they have their British flags? That's yeah. The question, you know, or do they vote Labour? Nationalism is such a dirty word these days. When my pride in my nation comes from a history of liberalism, democracy, and a rational perspective, is it really so sinful? No, that's precisely why we like Britain. Apparently so, comrade. I must take it down and wave the red flag. That stands for equal oppression for all, apart from the party members. I don't have a flag in my flat, but I do have a print of a painting of the Battle of Agincourt. Deo gratias Anglia rede pro victoria. Something about glorious England always being victorious. Something. Can we put that into Google Translate? Because I think I'm right there.
You've got to start using Duolingo to learn Latin.
I really should, shouldn't I? Since people keep sending us Latin.
Mm. Kind of annoyed by it.
We're getting the translation. What? Spanish? No, Google Translate has failed us.
They think the Latin is Spanish.
I mean, it's not exactly that far off either, really.
Thank God for England. Bebe victory.
Anyway, we're not gonna waste. I was time basically here. Right. Honestly, excluding policy, Keir Starmer seems to be a reasonable person, or maybe it's because of all the crazy people who came during the reign of Corbyn. He doesn't seem to lunge on partisan attacks that other politicians would have, the kind of stuff that would stop the UK from becoming as fractured as America. Yeah, that's a fair summary of Keir Starmer. Yep. He's very boring, very milquetoast, very Westminster bubble, but he isn't an AOC or a Jeremy Corbyn who's going to destroy British politics in the goal of the glorious revolution.
But the people he's surrounding himself with in his cabinet, I mean, you know,
they are cancerous.
Said that the British girls should shut up for the sake of diversity if they're being raped. The David Lammy saying that Jacob Rees-Mogg Nazi isn't even strong enough for him. You know, Emily Thornberry, these. That's why I don't trust it.
But look at the clay he's got to work with.
Yeah, I mean, I can feel for the guy.
Yeah, he's in a pretty tenuous position. But at the end of the day, I get the feeling the bulk of the Labour membership probably actually don't like the Corbynites. I think they make up about a third of Labour, and are just trying to get rid of them. I suspect. Should. Yeah, they should. They should purge them. Capes, can we take a minute to seriously thank the person in the National Guard for their service? What, White Hot Peppers? Yes, we can. Thank you very much, White Hot Peppers, for your duty. Your inside scoops have been huge for giving me hope. Stay smart and stay safe. Yeah, I don't think that Biden's in nearly as secure a position as he wishes that he was. Daniel Check, I think that is. Don't know if you'll read it here, but now that I know what I want politically and I'm old enough to vote, I'm finding out that there are no parties in my country, Hungary, that stand for what I stand for, freedom, independence, and hardcore capitalism. What would you do in my place? Should I support the least bad party just so I can get the corruption out of the system? Or should I start spreading the word, do the long game, and maybe get some party going that stands for my values? Democracy is about compromise, but in my situation, it'd be more like 90% surrender. And you taught me not to back down. Love the site. Keep it up. Salutes. Good question. What would you do?
I have no idea. Hungarian politics is a quagmire.
Yeah.
Like I know, as much as any foreigner would, but I just know about Viktor Orban. I know the people that simp for him in the West on the idea that he's right wing. But then domestically, he is unbelievably corrupt, and his party is unbelievably corrupt.
Right.
So, God knows, man. I don't know enough about Hungarian politics.
Yeah, but I mean, there are like broader principles here. So it depends on your level of commitment, really. Do you intend to spend your life in politics? Because if you do, the first thing you should do is purge your social media, literally purge it of everything that might even be vaguely considered compromising, and then get to work. And it could be, I mean, it will be a long journey from the sounds of it, if you want to kind of liberalize Hungary. And then there might be some significant resistance just in the principle, but you have to spend a long time doing it. I mean, Nigel Farage took like nearly 30 years to get Britain out of the EU. And so you could be looking at that. But on the plus side, you'll end up with a glowing reputation at the end of it and a slew of enemies who have just been crushed and have got, you know, this sort of crying face meme that you can end up with. So it's up to you as to what decision you make there. Edward of Woodstock says, I'm the British Empire. You've got to deal with it. Keir Starmer, probably. Apparently. With the inevitable financial crisis ushered in by communist ideology, it seems appropriate to view our new paradigm as the tyranny of bread.
Lamell, yeah, that's good.
Definitely anti-keto as well. I firmly disavow. You know,
your phobia of bread, you'll get over it.
Yeah, I won't.
But you're agreeing it's a phobia. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, it's there. Let's go from there.
Right, okay. So Mr. Winter says, £8 billion gender pay claim in the UK Supreme Court is absolutely bananas. Yeah, the very existence of a UK Supreme Court is pretty bananas, to be honest. Go back down.
I haven't read it all. I'm just going to read out order of high, like 50 quid. Yeah, we haven't.
Yeah, we were doing it. That was one. Read up on that and why Daily Wire is right to reclaim culture with alternative entertainment and Mr. Winter's essay on locals. Next essay pertains to challenging lockdowns in the UK Supreme Court. So that's Mr. Winter's essays on locals. We should check him out, really.
So I assume that's in regard to some transgender thing that's going on in the Supreme Court? Or? I'm not exactly sure what the billion refers to, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but I'm sure that Mr. Winter's will provide an explanation on his locals page. There's 100 like North Korean shekels or something.
No, that's Norwegian kroner.
Oh, right, okay. But anyway,
North Korean shekels.
Turwok says, just a little thank you from the real life version of Skyrim, aka Norway. Listening to you guys kept me sane in an otherwise less sane world. Now, excuse me, I have a dragon slay. based. Snake Eyes says, where does leftist, and for 54 euros as well, thank you. Where does leftist media or just media get data on locals being happy with asylum seekers? I'm sick of them rejecting facts and spitting BS. Yeah, well, they just take the activist's word for it. I mean, the thing is as well, these activists are often not from the area that they're conducting their activism in either. Often they're outside agitators who go through. But,
so there's one from Garrett Green here I can just read.
Mm-hmm.
I have issues with the Union Jack for every simple reason that I think of the 1707 Act of Union was a mistake. I'd happily wave the English flag all day for the very simple reason that I think unitary states from Egypt to Persia to China to France to South Africa, bad. So I assume he's English nationalist in the sense that the English flag is fine, but he opposes the Union, which is...
anti-imperialist.
I mean, you do at this point, essentially.
Well, no, I mean, I don't want the breakup of Britain, but I wouldn't mind returning to being the Kingdom of England. Like that, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
be
but you also are very much of the opinion that we're wasting a lot of money doing this.
Well, I'd like the devolved parliaments to be abolished. There's no need for that. You know, if we're going to do that, you may as well have your independence so we can just be left alone by you. Why do we have to pay any money to the Scots to have Holyrood, where they can sit there going, "We hate the English. We hate the English." Okay, well, you obviously don't hate English money. Like, the Scots have never hated English money, in fact. So it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you can either shut up or we're going to stop paying you. That's what I would be like. If I were Boris, I'd be very aggressive on this point. And I would force the SNP to come out and be like, declare their colours. No, we will forever oppose the English. It's like, goodbye then. You know, okay. Goodbye to your funding. You know, or the only money that Scotland will receive is that which Scotland raises in taxes. Enjoy.
You get what you effing deserve, the stonker.
Yeah, Keir Starmer, Fuhrer Keir and his Stormtroopers are taking over the Labour Party. Odd Nation says, it's good to see the Lotus Eaters succeed. Also, shameless plug, I made a shirt on Teespring. Look for The Odd Shop 4. Yeah, but by the way, things are actually going really well here. And thank you to everyone who's signed up and subscribed. I think today we're probably going to be breaking 4,000 patrons or premium members on the website, which is amazing, and again keeps us all in business, and we hope that we're making it worth it. Excuse me.
Unrelated question: what are yours and Callum's favorite types of magic? I am testing to see if my magic system can do everything. Make it as complex and bizarre as you want, so I can dissect it. P.S. Orcs. Anyway,
favorite type of magic.
Yeah, I don't really know what he means. Do you mean Magic the Gathering or something? I
don't know. I mean, if we're talking about Magic the Gathering, I tend to like black decks.
But if
you're talking about like fantasy magic systems, I don't know, I quite like low magic fantasy, to be honest, because I like the magic being something unique and momentous in the story. You know, I like that being important. I don't like it when people are just like throwing around spells and stuff. Really, it kind of undermines the prestige of magic. Norwegian money for our British heroes, says Tia Folsmark. Thanks, sir. AOC's in the wrong line of work. She should have been an actor, not a vacuous politician. Rise, lovers of freedom. Yeah, she is actually quite a good actress, to be honest. In her defense, she is good at telling lies.
You skip one there. I can't stay for long today. I've got to train a newbie at work today. Have you noticed that since the Chaos Forces have silenced the God Emperor, all these orcs have shown up? Weird, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, all of these mythic narratives map onto reality, and that's why mythic narratives resonate. The reason we like them, the reason we like reading these stories, the reason Lord of the Rings is relevant again, is because mythic narratives have an underlying description of reality contained within them. And without these sort of components being in place, like the No King in Gondor thing, you know, that I think that's a real representation of what's going on in the United States.
AOC and the Chamber of Falsehoods. AOC, the big lie. Good movies. The truth is worth the ridicule, even unto death. There is a rapture. The earth is flat. God above us. Aliens are demons. Jesus died for your sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. I feel like he's trying to get me to break the TOS by claiming things that are against YouTube's TOS there.
Yeah, I think we disavow that.
So,
I'm not prejudiced against aliens.
Back in my day, people knew a lot of proverbs. Now, most seem to have forgotten. Should bring them back and use them for a reference in life. NPCs need programming too. I don't really know any English proverbs. It's a good point. Although he's Korean, so... Annyeonghaseyo, I guess. You've preached the gospel to many, and you don't even believe it. Yet... I guess you're falling someday to the Jesus pill.
I looks like I am, doesn't it? Yet I am happy. Your children are safe. Do your job. See you in heaven, bro. Well, I mean, thank you, I guess. I mean, you know. I enjoyed Alexandria the Great's speech in Mesopotamia to her legions. Very inspiring. Yes, but that's what she's doing. She is rallying the troops. She is making a big push against the
attack on my life has left me scarred.
Exactly. That's exactly where this is going, you know. And but the thing is, she's overplayed her hand. She's powerful, but she's not that powerful. And the Republicans can just close ranks here, say, shut up, liar, and then she'll collapse. And then other Democrats will start coming out of the woodwork to attack her for, oh, you made us all look bad. You made us all look bad. And then it'll be the kind of, you know, fall of Jeremy Corbyn, hopefully. Marcus Holmes Horn says, regarding the Duper's Delight thing, you can't unlearn it. It's involuntary. Just learn to juxtapose a person's words with their facial expressions. You see people like AOC very clearly. This is taught to interrogators as statement analysis. Yeah, Josh hadn't done much work on research into this at any point, so he wasn't prepared to commit to anything. But I've watched a few documentaries on the idea of Duper's Delight, and I think it's a thing. I think that it's a thing. I think I in my like just personal life, I've caught people lying to me with a smirk, and I'm like, I know you're lying, you know, I know you are. Anyway, Sidebook VR says people keep talking grassroots revolution. Any actual cases for this done on a major first world political party, not just cosmetic, only theoretical / hubris? Honestly, I'd say Brexit, UKIP, Brexit, and Trump. As well, to be honest.
Like, sure, you get rich people who donate. Yeah, every party has to have because you need money. But if you want a grassroots movement, that's got to be it.
Yeah. Student Fishy says, I retract yesterday's super chat. She's a manipulative snake who's trying to obfuscate for her own personal deficiencies and make herself a top-tier victim. Yes. Galacta Watkins, AOC is Skinner and steamed ham. Simpson sketch. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So,
what are you hiding from in your office, Aurora Borealis?
At this time of year, located entirely in your office. Yes. Ted Kaczynski back at it again. Who's Ted Kaczynski?
I don't know. Sorry.
Deplorable Pirate Captain says, I would trust a set of recalled harbor freight jack stands.
Was that another guy we were talking about yesterday with the Polish thing? Maybe. I don't know.
That was someone else. Recalled harbor freight jack stands more than the establishment at this point. Creaking noises, my time has come. I mean, in America, certainly.
What's your favorite 40k faction and why is it not the Misters of Battle?
Yeah, so I was in a 40k group and some guy had been like, representation matters, and had customized a Sisters of Battle model to have a man with a top hat. And I posted it on my Instagram. And the monocle as well, yeah, exactly. And I was very impressed by this male representation in an otherwise completely female-dominated faction. Being very progressive and desiring representation, I thought this was an absolute step forward. So my new favourite faction is the Misters of Battle. I don't care that the law says that you can't have male Sisters of Battle. The law is not relevant at this point. In the same way that
it's
you're
a feminist organization, it'll be run by man.
Exactly. If we can have female space marines, we can definitely have male Sisters of Battle. What's your favorite 40k faction? Do you have one?
I used to actually have Imperial Guard. Like my brother used to. Mm-hmm. He got me into it. He was space marines. To be honest, I don't know at this point. I love orc posting just because it's funny. But I don't know. Maybe the Tyranids, just because there's no scheme. Yeah. They're just there to eat you.
Well, that is a scheme.
It's not much of a scheme, is it?
It's a pretty blunt scheme. Yeah,
Gene Stealers, I guess, yeah.
The Gene Stealer cults are my favourite ones because of the subversive nature of them. Mm. It really reminds me of leftists, to be honest.
But the motivation is just eat everything.
Corrupt everything and signal to the communist tyrannid hive mind to come and take over the planet. And it's like, well, there we go.
Well, because it's not... I don't really know if you can do that much. That's like calling ants communists and you're sort of projecting your human values upon our perfect hive mind. The
point is the hive mind essentially is perfect communism in the same way that the bugs from Starship Troopers are. Like there's no recognition of the individual or the differences between them, right? And they all give their lives for the greater good. And so it's like, okay, so you've got this giant, like it's literally like the leftists in the West going, oh, China's not so bad, you know, maybe we should help China. It's like, you know, how about you gene stealer cult, stop calling in the Tyranid Hive fleet, you know, yeah. stop corrupting people. And the funniest thing about it is, like, symbolically it works as well. Because if you've got, like, the sort of virtue-based, you know, Astartes who are, you know, strong and build themselves up, and then you've got the weird deformo leftist gene stealers, it's like, well, look at the picture of them. Oh, look, you've shaved your head and you weigh 400 pounds.
What's that page called? 40k like newspapers.
Oh, the Imperial Herald.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a
exactly.
reason it rings true.
There is a reason it rings true. It's the abandonment of virtue and the embrace of vice and disgusting. The nature of disgust is very, very much reflective.
I don't know. Anyway. I'm stuck between Imperial Guard like I used to and the Orcs because they're funny.
Yes, but no, the Gene Stealers are thinking man's faction. Subversion of institutions too. Exactly, John. Exactly. Exactly. They're complete subverters, and so they very much remind me of, you know, Labour Party activists. The Revenge Society, accomplished comedian Sinbad.
It should be a slur for Labour Party activists. Shut up, Gene Stealer.
Yeah, look, it's the Gene Stealer cult. In fact, I will use that next time I speak to one. Accomplished comedian Sinbad had to file for bankruptcy for a second time. I guess things went from Sinbad to Sin Worse. Ba-dum-tsh. Segrim's Jin says, no, we want her to maintain. She isn't lying, so therefore she is delusional and unfit to continue serving. Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest with you, we do want her to kind of maintain, you know, if we're talking tactically, we do want her to maintain the lie, because it just makes them look worse and worse and worse. And I'd like other Democrat politicians to commit to the lie. You know, I want Pelosi to come out and go, AOC nearly died today, or whatever. You know, I want that to happen because it makes them look really bad. Yesterday, I commented on the Dutch elections. Just to let you know, a total of 41 political parties are running this year. Yeah, this is why we just can't cover the Dutch elections.
This is why I'm in favour of first past the post at the end of it. I know it's undemocratic, but I'm just to the point where I don't want to deal with 41 parties. Ugh.
Charlie the Beagle says, if anyone wants really good 40k fan fiction, check out No Man YouTube to get to hear Orc Shakespeare. That's Callum's afternoon sorted out, yeah.
No Man YouTube?
No Man, yeah. Entropy says, don't be so hard on AOC. She was emotionally disturbed after finding a noose in her garage. That's true. Justin Wilson says, AOC's gormless face should be a portrait alongside the definition of the Dunning-Kruger effect. Well, that would imply good faith on AOC's part, actually. Because the Dunning-Kruger effect is where someone just doesn't know what they don't know and so look ridiculous. But AOC knows what she's doing here. And, right, okay, we are getting to the time. So we'll do a couple more and then we'll have to go, I'm afraid. Charles Doherty says, there are actually very few cameras inside the Capitol building, except press areas and House Senate floors. This is because camera footage is a please steal me type of target. She's still a lying bee. Yeah, I mean, sure, maybe on the inside, but surely there's cameras on the outside. But I mean, I could be wrong, and you may well be obviously correcting me here.
Well, we're not actually talking about the Capitol, Ollie, because she wasn't
there.
Yeah,
we're talking about their offices
Her
and
office
stuff
will
like
have
that.
Cameras in the entrance.
I'm sure they're going to. Rikumi says, any tips on making podcasts for a noob? At Matari on alts. MATARI. Any tips? I don't know.
Buy a good mic.
Yeah, good mics. Yeah, but above all things, actually. People complain about the audio quality more than anything else. Cody Opperman says, I'm related to a French knight from 1066. Please press F. Yeah, it's been a while since he died. And Joe Black says, Democrats are feminine, Republicans are masculine, Entropy. Stay tuned for Kovich Clown. I don't
even know what that is.
Don't know what you're saying. Right, last one, Charlie the Beagle. Check out 19th century Irish politician Daniel O'Connell. He was a liberal and gained Catholic emancipation and has a church named after him in Ireland. Ooh, that sounds very interesting. Right, well, thank you everyone for joining us. And if you'd like to check out more content from us, you can go to lotuseeds.com, become a premium member, and sign up and get all of our premium content. Of course, not for free, because you paid £5 for it. But you get to watch all of the premium content. We've got loads there. And we're going to be having the Christopher Hitchens premium podcast up very soon, which I really enjoyed doing, and I'm really looking forward to seeing your responses too, because I think there is a convincing case to say that he would never have supported the Clintons. So he would have been placed in an interesting position. But anyway, thank you for watching, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow.